Tonight, thank you for being here tonight. We are going back to a series we were in up until I think December of last year. We're talking about separation and trying to explain it through the scriptures to help us out. And we took a break through the holidays and then the first few weeks, but we're going to get back to it. I believe this is the 10th message. We're coming to the end. And, you know, when we think about this, this thing we call separation, you can call it many things. We just tend to call it separation. But it really goes well with our theme, desiring growth. As we've mentioned already in our Sunday mornings, if you're going to grow, you're going to change. Change is a natural byproduct of growth. And so if you came into the Christian faith, particularly later in life, you probably had a way of living that was not necessarily Christian. And as you got into the Christian faith and you started growing in your faith and you started trying to incorporate some of the biblical principles into your life, you found that by necessity, you have to change. That's just how it is. And by the way, that's for everybody. And so, really, that's what it is. Change after salvation is a principle of Scripture. Romans 12:1 tells us to not be conformed to the world, but we're supposed to be what? Anybody know? Transformed. The word transform is a word metamorphosis, from what we get our word metamorphosis. That's a change. That's a change that occurs on the inside, which is shown on the outside. And he tells us we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be changed. We're supposed to be transformed. By the way, you should be completely different. If you got saved when you were 4 years old, I don't know what sins you could give up, you know, pulling your brother's hair or whatever. But if you got saved later on in life, there were some things that had to change in your life. And that should be something that should be noticeable to those who would know you best. In Romans also chapter 8 and verse 29, it tells us that one of the things God has for us after we're saved, his desire for us is to be conformed into the image of his son. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. In other words, we shouldn't just be like the world is, and by the world we mean the system of the world, the beliefs of the world that are anti-Christian, that aren't Christian, which makes sense. If the world is not Christian, the way they believe, the principles and so forth are going to be taught will be different than Scripture. We're not to be conformed to that, but there is one thing we should be conformed with. We should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, the more we live the Scripture, the more God changes us, the more, in essence, we start to live the way Jesus would live. You see, it used to be a big marketing campaign, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And very few of those people actually did what Jesus did. Okay, it was just a nice marketing campaign. But really, that's what we should be doing. And you say, well, how do I know what Jesus would have done? Scripture. And we start applying that to our lives, we start becoming like that. 2 Corinthians gives us a little hint as to how that happens. In chapter 3, at the end of the chapter, it says as we look into the Bible, what the chapter is teaching, the Spirit of God transforms us into what we're learning in the Bible if we're open to it and we allow the Spirit of God. So the point I'm making is God wants us to change. We're saved and we're supposed to live as victorious Christians, which means we're living the Christian life to the full hilt, and it requires that there is some separation. Now, I'm giving a little bit of review here, just a couple minutes, and then we'll get to something new. We said that separation comes in two forms. It's separation from that which is wrong. If something is wrong, we know, and by the way, so where do we decide and find out what's right and wrong? Scripture. That's the determining line right there. Everybody has an opinion, right? Scripture dictates what is right and wrong. And so if I'm separating, I'm learning what the Scripture says is wrong, and I'm backing away from that. I'm also backing away, when I back away from wrong, from that which is harmful. God's not being restrictive when he helps us to get away from something which is wrong, because anything that is wrong is harmful for us. It's harmful for our spiritual life, and the fact of the matter is, it is harmful for just our life in general. But We don't just back away from something. We separate from something so we can go towards something. What is that? Towards that which is right. Right and wrong can't coexist together. It just doesn't happen. You're either going to strive to live right or you're going to live wrong. You can't mix the two together and think you can do both. And when we go to that which is right, it is also helpful. And let me say this, there is no neutrality. There is no neutrality. You know, during World War II, you know, some countries, they want to be neutral. Oh, they're not going to be, they can strive to be neutral, but they're going to pay the consequences of whatever happened in that war, especially if Nazi Germany would have won. Okay, but we can't be neutral. Well, I'm just going to be a neutral Christian. I'm not going to do too much bad thing, and I'm not going to run over here to the right thing. I'm just going to try to stay center of the road. You can't. Doesn't work that way. You try to walk on both sides of the fence, you know what happens? You fall to one side or the other, and the side you usually fall to is the wrong side. So, as I've mentioned, it really comes down to this, and we'll get into tonight's point. We'll start to get into tonight's point. Separation is just simply a matter of obedience. We try to make it look so many different ways. People that maybe don't want to believe in it try to color it all these different ways, and it's this, it's that, it's no, it's just simply a matter of doing the things which are right and obedient and keeping away from those things which would not allow me to be right and obedient. And that is our choice. We're trying to look at Scripture and its principles from all points of Scripture. Now, as we get into tonight, I want us to remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the important area where the battle for changing takes place. We quoted the verse in Romans, right? Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where the battle takes place. That's where the fuel to either do right or the fuel to do wrong comes from. It comes from what we are allowing in our mind. And we said this, and this is very important. You cannot control how you react to the things that you put into your mind. If you constantly put the wrong things in your mind, let me just say this to you, you're going to do the wrong things. You can't constantly be feeding your mind, and that is what you think about, and that is right there, and it's front and center, and expect not to step into the area of doing things which aren't mind. So if we, once we allow things in there, if they are going to push us towards a specific destination that's not right, then how do we win that battle? You guard what you put in your mind in the first place. You win the battle by what you put into your mind. I used to say in the early days of computers, you know, a computer only works based on what you put into it. And they used to have the little phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And that's what we're looking about. The point of the message, again, if we cannot control how we react to that which comes in our mind, it's important that we control what we put into our mind. And that's going to tie into what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, the books of Timothy, the verses that Pastor Pichardo read, and Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, they go together. They are a part of what we call the pastoral epistles. Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. He was Paul's protege in the faith, and he is helping him and teaching us through Scripture some things that would help him as a spiritual leader. He's teaching him that the key to Timothy being a spiritual leader that he should be, and to help Christians to be spiritual, everything he did, if that's going to happen, needs to be rooted in the Scriptures. Although times were spiritually bad back then, and by the way, they're bad for us as well today, Paul admonished Timothy to stick with the truth in the Scriptures that he had been taught and he had received as a youth. Because that's what you need. And that's what he needs to get out to those he would be, in essence, a pastor to. There are several truths in this passage by way of introduction, and the point's very small tonight. He said in verse 16, if you have your Bible still there, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The point he's making to Timothy is that Scripture comes from God, and therefore it is the truth. And that's vitally important. Can I just tell you this? Truth is not somebody's elevated opinion. I have opinions. You know what? Some of my opinions are right. You know what? Some of my opinions aren't right. Okay, we all have opinions. That's not truth. You know, not unfactual feelings. Our society wants us to live and believe just because somebody has an opinion or they have some emotional tie-in to something that's not factual, that we have to believe it as absolute truth. A lot of churches last Sunday, we didn't need to do it, and I'm not going to devote a whole service to it because we've already teach this here. You know, to teach that God made man and woman, and whatever he made you, that is what you is. You're not changing. Just because you, well, I felt like I should have been born a woman. That's a problem. God made two, man and woman. It's not like a Google form where there's 57. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Man, woman. Well, I just feel like this, and I'm going to go in and have a doctor carve me up. You're still what you are. And I don't know what is it, XY or Y, X, whatever it is. Whatever the X, you're an XX or an XY, whatever it is this what you are. You can, if you're a guy, you can wear a dress, you're a guy. Oh, so that you're an ugly guy. And I'm not going to gauge that. You know, you're a woman, you want to act like a man, grow a beard and all that 9 yards, you're still a woman. Men aren't having hysterectomies. Are we going to take it to its idiotic conclusion? So a woman goes to the doctor and says, I'm a guy and she needs a hysterectomy. He can't tell her that because she identifies as a guy? He said, you kids, what's a hysterectomy? Ask your mommy. Okay. Look, truth is in one place. It is in the scriptures. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God wrote it. We looked at that in our Thursday night. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He says here that scripture is the tool that brings spiritual maturity. He says if you stick to the scriptures, you'll be perfect. That means mature, thoroughly furnished. You'll have everything you need to be the Christian that God wants you to be and in his part to be the pastor that he wanted him to be. In verse 16, he says about the scriptures, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's telling Timothy that the teachings and truths of scripture change and impact lives. And he gives us the four areas. He says doctrine. You know what that means? Teaching what is right. What is the Bible saying about this? What does the Bible teach about this? For reproof, that's teaching what is wrong. By the way, the Bible tells us what's right and wrong. And then correction, how we can get right. Look, if you came to Christ at any time a little later in life, there were things in your life, it's like, that's got to be corrected. If you don't correct it, you're headed down that same path. And then instruction in righteousness, that's teaching us how to continue to live the right life. And then he takes it a step further. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4. He's tying it together. He says that the preaching must line up with the teachings and the purpose of Scripture. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Here we go, ready? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That list sounds a lot like the list he gave when he was talking about what the Bible's profitable before. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take the Bible in church and just dish it out the way it is. Not to soft soap it or not to over it. Or, you know, you can either soft soap it or make it less than it is, or you can overhype it and make it more. No, we're supposed to stick to the scriptures, the truth of the scripture. And then he taught him in verse 3 and 4 that the truth of scripture takes precedent over the desires of the people. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Don't we see that? Someone will come to a church, and I never try to be purposely mean. I'm not. But I do have a duty to follow what the Bible says. And sometimes you got to tell the truth, and the truth's not popular. Say, how do you know it's not popular? Because sometimes it's not popular with my flesh. I'll go find some Dr. Doolittle on the radio who never says anything mean and everything's all good and you can do whatever you want. That's fine, but it's not right. You're finding teeth, you have itching ears. You want to hear something that makes you feel good and never goes against what's good. Is that how you're going to parent? By the way, some people do parent that way. Can I tell you the outcome? Disaster. They don't need you to like, okay, little Mihu, you know, do whatever you want and figure it out. They didn't figure it out. You figure it out for them. Well, you're not teaching them. They're going to get older. They get in trouble. You're supposed to watch over them. The authority and supremacy of Scripture is not just important for an individual Christian. It is also important for the church. We've got to follow Scripture. Okay? That's it. We have to stand for the principles of Scripture. And we're never going to apologize for that. We'll try that again. We're never going to apologize for that. They're going to come. By the way, Canada just said they're not allowed to. You can get up to 5 years in prison for trying to convince somebody that they say they're a woman, they're a man. Guess what? A woman's a woman, a man's a man. And God decided it. You're not going to decide it by what you wear, what surgery you have, or whatever it is. And you want to be fluid, then drink water. It's just silly. It's just silly. And we're hurting. They're taking children that say, I feel like I'm a girl when they're 4 and 5 years old, and they want to turn them into a girl. Look, your son may say, you know what? I think I'm a dinosaur. What is wrong with us? The church must be governed by the standards of Scripture. The church must reject the fallacies. By the way, and I'll get into the message in a minute. It's not happening in our society. Our society is a mess for a lot of things, but one of the big reasons it's a mess because our churches are messes. And we're running to that nonsense. I just read, so I get these emails, and a huge church in America, one of the biggest churches in America, and I'm not going to give you the guy's name, but evangelical Christianity, if I gave this guy's name, they would all know him. He's well-respected, they've read his books, they've seen all his nonsense. Here's how he opened his service last Sunday. I saw the video. They had a 7-minute music compilation of Led Zeppelin. I saw it. You say, how do you know? Been there, done that. And then at the end of the video, when they were finishing their little set of music, everybody was standing up, jumping around. Now, can I just say this? And I'm not glorifying it. When I was a teenager, I went to a Led Zeppelin musical thing. And by the way, what those people were doing in church was the exact same thing that was happening when I was there that time. And let me just tell you from experience, it wasn't church. There was a lot of garbage going on. And then they justify that. That's their opening worship set. And then the pastor doubled down when he was called out on it. You know, they just wanted to have some fun. So you're going to open it with a song that's the complete opposite of how a person goes to heaven? There's no stairways to heaven. But that's what's happening. Can I tell you why this nonsense is going on in our country? We've become detached from the teachings of the Scripture. We're listening to teachings from people that are clueless. And it's simply because we want that in our life. Now, with all of that as an introduction, you say, man, I thought we were going to get out early tonight. We will. We'll get out on time. Here's what I'm talking about. Why we need to be careful about separation. Why do all these things I mentioned take place? Why do people step aside from the truths of Scripture? Because of instruction. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19, please. One verse. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. Proverbs is straightforward, okay? You don't need to, you know, dig into things and, oh, well, you know, no, it's straightforward. Most of the Bible is, to be honest with you. You ready? Let's get into it. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Like in our introduction, where the book of Timothy taught us about the importance of the truth of Scripture and patterning our life and patterning our church after the truths of Scripture, this verse in Proverbs warns us from allowing ourselves to listen to anything and be instructed with anything by anything that would cause us to err from the truths of Christianity. When I was in Bible college, I was in a class, and I'm not I mean, I've gotten better at it as a pastor. You kind of have to be sometimes. But I'm not a confrontational person. So I'm not like this. So we were in a Bible class, and the teacher was teaching us, and he was using as an example for church, a church in Korea. The pastor's name was Paul Yonggi Chow. Many years ago, that was probably the biggest church in the world. They had close to 500,000 people in their various deals. This guy had major doctrinal problems. Like, I doubt that he was saved type of problems. So the teacher was teaching us, and I wasn't trying to be combative. That's not who I am. Anybody have any questions? So I raised my hand, and I just said, I know you're telling me it's a thing. I said, but I believe he has doctrinal errors. I said, according to the verse in Proverbs, and I quoted this verse, I said, do you think we should be reading this guy's stuff and listening to what he's teaching? And he got quiet for a second, and he looked down, and he was trying to, like, offset it. He goes, I don't know. What do you think? But he didn't have an answer. This guy, look, we have to be careful that we do not listen to anything that would cause us to err from the Christian faith. Now, I get it that in the course of life, you hear things. And that's why it's important that we are grounded in the Scripture. So when we hear something that is blatantly false, we'll just say, I already know the Scripture. That's wrong. I'm out on that. But there's a difference when we purposely allow ourselves to be sucked into any type of instruction that would cause us to go away from the faith. The Bible is very clear that we must be discerning as to what instruction we allow ourselves to receive. He says, if it's wrong, reject it. Cease. And here's how we figure if it's wrong. Though is it going to cause us to err from the words of knowledge? Is it contrary to what the Scriptures say? We want to sit here and base what we believe off what people are saying and their emotions and their feelings. And by the way, I'm not trying to be insensitive. Sometimes people, and we probably all have done it, right? We've made mistakes based on following our emotions, following our feelings. And I'm not trying to discount that. But just because someone's went through a difficult situation or a tough time and they're having an emotional thing, that's not the time to buy into something that's not true. Look, a person who is miserable as a woman and says, I want to be a man, I guarantee it, they're going to be miserable as a man. Men don't go through menopause. All right, let's back off of that one. We need to reject it. If it's wrong and we don't reject it, it causes spiritual damage. He says it will cause us to err. See, now what happens is you start hearing this stuff and you're not spending time in the Bible and you're listening to something that sounds cute and you're being thrown off and it all sounds good and you're not getting back to the Scripture. In fact, you're listening to this stuff and it's drawing you away from the Christ. So what are we supposed to do? Stop listening. The word cease. You ready? I'm a Hebrew scholar. The word cease means stop. Cease. Don't do that. Be very, very careful. The Bible is clear about the instruction that we should receive. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. And look, we've all done it. You work somewhere, you're in a break room, here's people that don't know the Lord, and here's someone like, hey, I'm having trouble with my son, and here's a guy who has 4 sons in prison, and he's going to tell you how to raise your children. Or, you know, you're having trouble. Yeah, you know, my wife was a little upset. By the way, you shouldn't tell people that stuff anyhow. That was free. Keep it to yourself. Everybody has a bad day. You know, my wife, my old lady's just giving me a tough time. I'll tell you what. Tell you how I handled it with my third old lady. Listen to what he just said. Look. And they start spouting off all this stuff. Years ago, I was in the break room. Guy wanted to talk about abortion, which, by the way, the best way to define abortion is murder. Anyhow, anyone talk about abortion? And here was his argument. Well, what about these kids that could be born and, you know, they have defects? By the way, do you know most of the time when they do those little tests and tell you you're going to have a defective baby, it's not true? But anyhow. And I said, I got a better idea. He goes, yeah, I get what you're saying. I got a better idea. He goes, yeah, what? I said, why don't we go find all the people that have already been born that have defects and let's kill them too? He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, that's what you're saying. But anyhow. I don't want to hear that stuff. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Just because someone says they're spiritual, they're not. We have a lot of false teachers out there. By the way, if you want to know if someone's a false teacher, what's the number one thing you look at? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And I'm talking about salvation. If they can't define salvation, then I wouldn't listen to them when it comes to anything else. Salvation's a fundamental thing. But the problem is, by the way, so what we do is we look at other Christians and we gauge our Christianity off of them. Here's a phrase that's heretical. You know, so-and-so, they're a Christian and they do this. Well, when in the Bible does it tell us we're supposed to gauge what we're supposed to do based on what other Christians do? And it has to be scripture-driven. I've had people that tell me they love God and they praise God, and the next minute they're using words that I only heard at my in-laws' house. And by the way, I'm kidding. My in-laws are not like that. They're great people. You know? But it's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, what's going on? No, Christianity was convenient at that time. I'm not, just because so-and-so does it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Just because some other family allows something doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to follow the Bible. Many times we don't want to hear preaching or teaching that goes against our flesh, our desires, or is going against what's going on in the world is because we just don't want to hear it. That's human nature. I'm not getting on us. We're all like that, right? It's human nature. We just don't want to hear it. There's an early pioneer missionaries to the north in the northwest to the Indians, the Whitman family. Actually, a couple times up in Washington, I've been to their little. It's a museum now. Their family was wiped out by the Indians who they went to try to minister to, and there was some things behind it. They thought they brought disease or whatever. But when he was first teaching these Indians, and he was trying to teach them about salvation in Jesus Christ and that we're all sinners, they would go up to him and say, we don't want to hear that. They would say, we want to hear good talk. All they wanted to hear was, look, if you want to hear something positive that's not scriptural, listen to Joel Osteen. Yeah, listen to Joel Osteen. You know if it comes out of his mouth, it's heretical. He doesn't believe in salvation. He doesn't believe in fighting against sin. Just be positive. Hogwash. And by the way, I'm for being positive. I don't want to be negative. But man, you know, if you're positive and someone stabs you with a knife, like, well, you know, I probably won't die. Hey, why don't you just grab a bat and take the knife out of the guy's hand? But see, that's what we want to hear. So let me just share a couple thoughts about being careful about listening to the instruction. Just two. First of all, growth in faith and vigilance are both necessary. We're going to look at one more portion of scripture in a couple minutes we have left. Look at Colossians chapter 2, if you could. Colossians 2 hits this from both angles, okay? It hits it from the growth angle, and then it hits it from the being careful angle, okay? That's what vigilance is. Vigilance is, if I don't want error to come into my life, I have to be very vigilant about what I allow myself to listen to, or what I allow teaching I allow in my life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We need to grow so we can receive what's right, is what he's saying. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. So live your life in him by the way that you receive Jesus. How did we receive Jesus? We received him by faith. So we are supposed to walk with God by faith. By faith means we accept what he's saying by faith because he's God. And even though I may not like it, I'm going to by faith follow it because I believe it's from God. He says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him. So when we when we by faith start trusting the scriptures and making it a part of our life, we start developing roots. And now Christianity isn't just something, you know, just something I received at salvation. Now I'm growing roots in the Christian faith and I'm becoming that way in my life. And then it ends up and it says, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Now I'm established in the faith. I was a new Christian. I took that faith in Christ and I put that faith in the Word of God. I started making it a part of my life. So I started developing roots. Now the Christian life is becoming part of my life. It's who I am. And now I get to the point where I'm firmly established as a Christian. It's not just something I do sometimes. It's a part of every area of my life. It's who I am. I'm not just a Christian when I come to church on Sunday and something else some other time. I'm a Christian all the time. It's just who I am. That's what we're looking for. And so we have to grow, but then he talks about the vigilance in verse 8. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. What does spoil mean? Spoil means to lead you away from, to carry you away of captive. You've heard of the spoils of war, right? The spoils of war is you win, you take what you want. And what the world's trying to do is spoil us, take us captive from our Christianity to what the world believes. How do they do that? Spoil you through philosophy. The word philosophy literally means love of learning. Now that sounds good on the front end. But it depends on one thing. What is that thing? What are we learning? See, in our country, we've made education a god. Not a god. You can be educated and still live as a fool. And you can have a lower IQ, which is nothing wrong with that, and live as a wise man. Depends on if you're following scripture. Education's not, by the way, I'm for education. But I think education's got to have its proper foundation. If education is not going to be grounded on that which is truth, you know, and I'm not beating a dead horse, it's just a good illustration tonight. You know, these signs in our neighborhood, at this house, we believe love is love. Is it okay for a brother and sister to get married? That's love. I know what they're saying. Everybody's a feminist. I don't even understand that one. I'm not a feminist. I'm a guy. If you're a lady, you should be a girl. But here's the kicker. Science is I don't know, what does it say? Science is science? You don't even believe science. The foundation of science says if you were born a man, you'll always be a man. Some rotten psychologist changed that. You can't change that just because you had a bad day or you have a feeling. They don't believe in science. Don't you want me to go to college, your college, and learn your science when you can't figure out who's a man and who's a woman? Hey, I've had 7 kids, and as soon as they came out, I knew what they were. It's pretty easy. Now, thanks to ultrasound, I knew 4 of them early, okay? Yeah, you don't get an ultrasound, and they look at it and say, looks to me like they'll probably choose to be. You don't have to have an IQ pass, and I am upset. You don't have to have an IQ plus a plant to know that aborting a baby is painful to the baby. Look at the videos. If you can look at that video and say it's not, you're godless and you're not very bright. Years ago when we were in Florida, I don't know if you remember, Alma, we went to a Christian drive-in movie, of all things. And they played a movie on abortion. And they showed an ultrasound, and a doctor was watching it who didn't have an issue with abortion. And they were showing the baby jumping around as they were killing it. And the doctor started to cry and left the room. That's not science. I love learning. If you're learning that garbage, there's something wrong. My body, my choice. Yes, you can choose whether or not to get pregnant. The baby, you know, well, I believe in women's rights. Well, half of the babies born are women. And by the way, I'm really irritated tonight. You believe in women's rights, but you want them to have to run against men. What is wrong with us? How can a guy on a swim team decide I want to be a girl and jump off the men's swim team and go to the girls' swim team, and all of a sudden we all have to bow and say he's a woman? He's deranged. And I don't say that mean. I say that there's something wrong and he needs help. But go to the school. They'll tell you all that. And by the way, can I just tell you this? This is free. It is Sunday night, so you can deal with it. Most of our country believes this. They're just all afraid to say anything because they'll be shouted down by the media. There was a... I am encouraged. One thing, I'm barely on Twitter, but I saw this thing and I had to read it. Somebody on Christmas Day said some pro-abortion, big pro-abortion group in America, they tweeted out, "Hey, tell us your wonderful story of abortion." They made a really bad mistake. Everybody was tweeting about, and I read a lot of them. It was how people who were going to get abortions and decided not to and say, "My son's a doctor." It kind of blew up in their face. But you don't hear that on the mainstream media. Okay, back to this. So how do they spoil us? Philosophy, love, and learning. Learning, I'm all for learning. Let's learn the right things. Vain deceit. What does vain deceit mean? Empty lies. We've already talked about some evolution. It's a lie. It doesn't even stand up with the foundational principles of science. And it's a theory. It's a bad one. It's a fairy tale for adults. Traditions of men. That just means it's something that's just always been believed. It's always been passed down. Just because something is passed down doesn't make it right. If it's passed down and it's right, then it's right. The children of Israel, what did they do to try to get the scriptures and the truths to their children? They had memorials, and the parents would pass the stories about what God did down to them. That's okay, because that was truth. But sometimes we just believe something because, well, that's just the way it's always been. I know, it's always been wrong. If it's against what the scripture says. The rudiments of the world. That the word rudiment, what it really just means, that's which comes from an unsaved mindset. And then he just throws all this in. He just kind of gives you a general in case, you know, it's like, here's some specifics how they spoil it. And here's just a general one. Not after Christ. It's just not spiritual. It's godless. Some of the stuff that passes as teaching in our colleges is reprehensible. It's evil. Our country is ruined because our colleges are ruined. And then he also warns us, secondly and lastly, instruction, if we're supposed to watch what we're learning, instruction comes in many forms. We've talked a lot about teaching. Teaching is only as strong as what is taught. And the strength of a teaching institution is going to be gauged by what it is teaching. But you know, there's other ways we learn other than sitting in a classroom. By the way, let me say this about being very careful about public type educations. I love this quote by Bodie Bachman. He said, "We can't send our children to Caesar's institutions," talking about school system, "and not expect them to live like Romans." I'm just telling you, go ahead, send your kid to that school for their 13 years and come home why they question why they can't like, why your girl can't like another girl. Why I'm a guy, why can't I just say I'm a girl? That's been put, by the way, that's been pushed. They're not teaching the kids how to read and write. They're not. They used to teach us how to read, actually read and write and do math. Stuff like, weird stuff like that. Our kids can barely read, write, and do any of those things, but boy, they can toe the politically correct lines. Our entertainment. Entertainment is running to incorporate every type of deviant behavior they can come up with. If someone says it's right, it's thrown in there like it's normal. It's not normal. And I'm not saying that mean, because all of us can be involved in any type of sin, and all sin is bad. Well, you get against homosexuality, you think homosexuality is wrong? Yeah, and so is adultery. It all is. We're not going to just parse them up, but that's the thing of the day. And so what do? We need to get that thing right. Our entertainment is just normalizing it. They can't show you anything with showing some kind of immoral behavior. And if anything is in the traditional sense, it's mocked. Where's the regular family? No wonder. I don't know what is it now? We only have like 30%. I don't know what it is, Joseph. Of families, our nuclear families, mom, dad, children together. Is it 30? It may be less. You wonder why our children are a train wreck? And I'm not getting, you know, my dad and my mom were not saved. My mom got saved later. But listen, because I didn't have a dad in the home, I did a lot. I did what I wanted. I could pull the wool over my mom's eyes. Yeah, Mom, I'll tell you, you know, we have cell phones, but I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. I'm going to Robert's house. I know, but I didn't tell her the 12 places I went to on the way to Robert's house. I didn't tell her what we were doing at Robert's house. And I didn't tell where I went after Robert's house. But my mom's like, hey, my kid always tells me where he is. You know, probably 10% of that time, yeah. Okay? But, you know, if I had a dad in the house that's looking at me in the eye like, cowboy, where are you going, exactly where you're home, and here's when you're coming home. Anyhow, but that's not the issue. I'm not talking, that happens. I get it. We can make it. But we mock those. Like if you're a mother, or you're a dad, and you love your family, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Just trying to follow the Bible. And I'm not against, look, I grew up in that family. Some of you have to deal with that stuff, and I get that. But let's not normalize or make it abnormal or weird when we're following the scripture. Be careful about your friends. Social media. Don't follow people that glorify that nonsense. I'm not going to follow anybody, even a relative, if they're glorifying sin. I'm just not. I don't want to see that. Okay? And I'm not going to get up there. You're evil. Well, they're not evil. I just choose not to have that stuff in my mind. That's all. I'm not trying to be mean. By the way, let me just say this. Just because you sound off or show off on social media doesn't make our belief right. We think, oh, I'll just do my ha-ha, that's a good blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make it right. But everybody wants to do that, right? Music. No. Pastor Meyer, by the way, you know, I just like the way the music sounds. It's not the words. Because the words aren't important, really? Then how do you explain Coco Melon? They listen to that stupid little thing, and I think I'm losing brain cells when they play it for the kids at our house, and they're learning their ABCs, and I'm banging my head against the wall because I'm tired of hearing it. A, A, I don't even know how it goes now because I'm trying to, it's a bad A, B, C. I was with Callie last night. She was at the house for, it was just me and her for a while, and we're singing the ABC song. She was doing her ABCs because she was singing the song. Now, she slurred some of them there in the middle, and I don't think her LMNOP was quite right. But, you know, you're catching it from the music. And by the way, the music puts you in a certain frame of mind. When I was at that concert and many others I went to, I didn't feel worshipful. Okay, that music did something else. But I'm just saying, everywhere you go around you, you have to be careful. Because philosophies are being spouted. And you just have to be very careful about that. And you need to say, I'm rejecting that. Just because a guy say, like, I don't know, LeBron James can play basketball doesn't mean he's going to tell me what's right and wrong. And he ought to just keep his mouth shut. Don't tell me you care about people and you're taking millions of dollars from China who their human rights abuses are horrific. And you're going to run to their defense, but everybody else is a racist. Just be quiet. I don't even like the way you play basketball. I liked the Lakers before, and I don't like them now. Can't wait for him to retire. Just play basketball. But they tell us what to do, and they, you know, well, I don't need a role model. Then why are you running your mouth? They're trying to teach us something. It's like, look, teach me how to make a three-pointer. Well, I already had that down. I was good at that. Okay, let's be everywhere you go, you can't talk about anything without them diving into life and trying to tell you your way of life is wrong. Reject that. There's only one voice you really need to listen to. You know which one it is? It's right here. And don't let, if anybody is pushing you away from here, you need to move. Reject that. Be very, very careful. All of us, and I include myself and I am done, we are so easily influenced, right? That can be a good thing. Why don't we let God influence us? Why don't we let the scriptures influence? We have to be careful what we're allowing into our minds. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I kind of got derailed a little bit, but I hope you got the truth. The truth. What are you allowing to instruct you? What are you allowing to teach you? Where are you getting your truths from? Are you being derailed because you're letting something question those truths just because it sounds good? No, we got to be very careful. I'm not saying stick our head in the sand, but I'm saying we need to be discerning and vigilant. People look at you and say, well, here's just the way to believe, and you really don't have a choice. You better believe that way. And if you don't, just keep your mouth shut. I'm not the type to keep my mouth shut. When I'm behind this pulpit, I'm responsible to tell what the scripture says, regardless of what I think or others. Because I want us to know, I don't like being lied to. And especially when it's in a spiritual sense. Because I know it's going to hurt my life, and it's going to hurt my family, and it's going to hurt my friends. And I don't want that. Let's get the truth today. Let's stand together. Maybe God spoke to you. Maybe there are some areas in your life you've been allowing to influence you unduly. Anything that causes you to want to be less spiritual, you know right there it's wrong. And you need to be careful. Piano will play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Let's pray together this evening. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your truth. And Lord, we would be transformed and our lives would be changed for the best if we just follow it. But Lord, there's so many out there, so many truths that is false truths, I guess, lies, deceit, which would cause us to be diverted away from the faith. And Lord, help us to have the discernment to know that which we should stay away from, that teaching that would cause harm. Be with us now, Father. Thank you for those that are here tonight. I pray you bless. Be with us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.